أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك وعلى آل بيتك المظلومين. لعن الله الظالمين لكم من الأولين والآخرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله الحسين يا ابن رسول الله يا عبرة كل مؤمنين ومؤمنتين يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة. ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا من التجأ إليكم. سادتي ويا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز فوزا عظيما. We come to Umm al-Baneen alayha salam to ask her, for whom do you cry, O Umm al-Baneen, so much? For whom does her voice arise in Baqir, with an azab for which a hard rock, the hard rock has become soft with sadness. She tells me, I cry for the grandson of Al-Mukhtar, the martyr, the gharib of Karbala. She has been crying since then, lamenting on him on the moons, on the mounds of Baqir. Till now I can hear her cry in my ears. It is as if I hear her cry in her grave, answering with her crying for Hussein. She tells me, O you who are asking me, do you know which bala befell Hussein, for which my heart has become sad and distressed. Even though the loss of my sons has struck me deep in my heart, however, it is not like the loss of my Mawla Hussein. For him, my hot tears run from my eyes still. Had the grandson of the Prophet remained after them, he would have led our family. And if my Hussein had come back to me safely, I would not have taken my sadness with me to my grave. However, Hussein died after my sons, and our supporters after Hussein have become very few. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. To hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Continuing with the topic that I had begun yesterday, after we talked about reform, what kind of reform our Imam alayhi salam wanted to bring about in this ummah of his grandfather, we thereafter started to talk about the bringer of reform himself, the Muslih himself, which is our, who is our third Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is because of the fact that in order for us to be able to understand the reform that he wanted, we have to know the reformer himself. Now, in order to know the reformer himself, we have to look at some of the qualities. When we know the sacrifice that the reformer, in order for us to be to understand the sacrifice that was made, we have to know that grand personality that was sacrificed for Islam and for the Islah that he wanted for the Ummah of the Prophet. Thereat, we started by talking about Ziyarat Warith, which is one of the Ziyarat that have been narrated about our third Imam alayhi salam. And we said that in order for us to be able to understand those matters, those mystical realities that our Imam alayhi salam inherited from all of those personalities, we have to look at the history of each and every one of those persons, or the prophets mentioned, in order for us to understand what our Imam inherited. Now, because of the fact that written history had not started, or even written history has been distorted a lot, especially man-made or man-written history, as a result, for us to know of the details accurately, we have to refer to the immaculate source, the 100% perfect source, which is the Holy Quran. Thereat, when we want to talk about personalities such as Nabi Adam alayhi salam, written history had not started at that time, so we refer to his stories in the Holy Quran in order for us to know what kind of position he had, what realities he had in him, so that we can know what our Imam inherited from him. We also talked about the fact that Islam is Muhammadi al-Hudud, Husayni al-Baqa. That is to say, Islam in its advent, in its beginning, it is Muhammadi, and it's in its continuity, it is Husayni. And we also mentioned the fact that in philosophy, it is well known that the cause for something to come into existence is the same cause that makes that thing continue in its existence. I gave the example of the sun. For instance, if you go outside and it's daylight, that sun, which is the same cause for the light to start and to reach your eyes, it is the same cause for that light to continue throughout the day. Otherwise, if another source would come, it will not be the same sunlight, it will not be the same matter. However, how is it that Islam is Muhammadi in its beginning and Hussein in its continuity? That is because of the fact that both of them are one, and we understood from that the narration from the Holy Prophet that Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. And they are one in their reality, they are one in their message, they are one in their actions, but if you want to go even deeper, no, they are one in their spiritual reality, in their mystical reality as well. To continue thereafter, the ziyarat I started, or actually that was the introduction yesterday, I wanted to start with the first sentence, the first verse, which is As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam as-safwatillah. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Adam, the chosen one of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let us start by looking at the word As-salam itself. This ziyarah, like all other ziyarat, it starts with the word As-salam. Of course, we want to send our salutations, our greetings to our imam or the personality that we are performing ziyarat for, visiting, saluting. As-salam in Islam, rahimakumullah. As-salam in Islam, it is a greeting, it is a form of salutation. This form of salutation is a greeting that Islam introduced into the society of the Muslims when Islam wanted to give a special identity to the Muslims. It wanted to identify, to distinguish the Muslims from the rest of the Arab society at that time. What did they use to greet? They used to use words, for instance, marhaban. They used to use words, one of them was a really strange word, abaytullan, which is that if you come to me, I refuse to curse you. So it was such a violent society that imagine they did not have any words of good feelings or emotions sometimes. So they would use stuff like this. They would use sentences such as this, that you are okay, I'm not going to curse you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Is that how you receive a guest? As-salam, this greeting, this salutation, it is a word that you use when you come to meet a person, when there is a meeting, when there is a connection between you two. And this word has been used in the Holy Quran a lot. Let us look at some of the verses. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal says that we have to use, we as Muslims, we have to use this greeting. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عَنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبًا. What, when you enter houses, give greetings of peace upon one another, upon each other, greeting from Allah, blessed and good. With regards to Al-Jannah, this is also the greeting that we will have in Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, تَحِيَّتُهُمْ فِيهَا salam. That is to say, their greeting in it will be salam, peace, words of good words. In another verse as well, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, verses number 25-26, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا إِلَّا قِيلًا Salaman salama. They will not hear in it any vain or sinful speech except the saying peace, and again peace. Peace be upon you. Where else is this greeting or this kind of salutation used? This is used when or Malakul Maut and the angels who come to remove the soul of a person at the time of death. If that person is a good person, a good mu'min in his life, we also find that they are greeted by those angels with this greeting. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. That is how you're going to start a new life. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us that kind of end. Those whom the angels, when they cause them to die, when they are good, they say, peace be upon you. In another verse as well, so that is when your soul leaves your body. Where else? Where else? Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Zumar, verse number 73, قَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طُبْتُمْ فَادْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. And the keepers of Al-Jannah, the gatekeepers, they will say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, for the keepers of Jannah, peace be upon you. You have done well, so enter to abide therein. With regards to the Jannah itself, Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Yunus, verse number 25, He calls it as well the dar of the abode of salam. He says, Wallahu yad'u ila dar salam. Allah Azza wa Jalla invites you, He's calling you, summoning you to Al Jannah, to the abode of peace. Okay, this is where as-salam is used. Let us just try to dissect and to scratch the surface of this word itself in order to understand the meaning. Many of us, all of us inshallah, we know Allah Azza wa Jal has His beautiful names. One of them is as-salam. As-salam, what does it mean? It means with regards to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is what its true meaning is, the highest level of its meaning. It is the fact that no insufficient act or an act that has deficiencies or any flaws comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. All that Allah Azza wa Jal does is perfect. It does not have any flaw. Except we may misunderstand sometimes some things that may happen to us. When you have this aqeedah, this belief that Allah Azza wa Jal is salam, that means that whatever He does has some good in it. If for instance there is a bala that you are befell, you have a bala, you are befell with a bala, you have a problem, that does not mean that Allah Azza wa Jal has done something wrong, ma'adallah. No. It has a wisdom in it. So you have to take this as the primary rule, and from this we have to understand the rest of our life. We have to build our life. We have to understand the things that happen to us. Make this a rule for ourselves. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, he says, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, wa laka as-salam, wa ilayka ya'udu as-salam. O Allah, from You is the salam, is peace, perfection. Sorry, You are the perfection, the first thing. You are the salam, the perfect. The perfect from the root does not have any flaws. And from You is perfection. Perfection is Yours. And perfection will come back to You. Comes back to You. So, thereat we have mentioned a word over here which is the word perfection. So we can understand that for a person to not have any flaws, that means that that person has perfection. Allah Azza wa Jal not having any flaws, any defects, that means that Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect. Allah Azza wa Jal, and on the tongue of our Prophet, of our Imams, alayhi salam, we are told that تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ وَاتَّصِفُوا بِصِفَاتِ اللَّهِ. That is to say, carve in yourselves and take the conduct of Allah, learn the conduct of Allah, become like Allah Azza wa Jal. Apply the akhlaq of Allah Azza wa Jal and the qualities and the traits of Allah Azza wa Jal. So one of them is as-salam. We have to try to be like that in our actions, in our thoughts, in our daily lives. With regards to certain personalities, we find that in this context of perfection, they are mentioned in the Holy Quran. Let us mention a couple. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, alayhi wa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, As-salamu alayya يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا صدق الله العليم. Peace be upon me. On the day that I was born without any flaws. That tuhma and that accusation that those Jewish rabbis that they gave and they threw against my mother. No, I was born perfect from halal. And the day I will die, may peace be upon me, the day that I will die, after he comes back, after the dhuhur of our 12th Imam, and the day that I am resurrected, Because his life is like this. It's a life of perfection, no sins, no flaws, no deficiencies. Other personalities as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Holy Quran, He includes all of the Mursaleen, all of the messengers. He says, Salamun ala al Mursaleen, peace be upon all of the messengers. All of the messengers, they were like this. They had brought this message. Salamun ala Ibrahim, Salamun ala Musa wa Harun, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alamin, peace be upon Nuh alayhi salam, among the worlds, among the peoples, all the peoples. With regards to our Prophet as well, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 56, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu, taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. A second loud salawat as well. Allah and His angels shower blessings on the Prophet, O you who believe. Ask blessings on him and salute him a worthy salutation. Thereat, we find this. Now what about ourselves as well? Can we maybe reach to such a level that Allah Azza wa Jal may also send salutations and blessings to us in such a way? Yes. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum. That is, it's Him who sends these blessings to you, according to our levels of perfection. The blessings that maybe a sinful person may receive is not the same blessings that a true follower of our Imams may receive, or that our Imams themselves receive. May Allah Azza wa Jal then help us and grant us tawfiq to reach such a level. صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد After understanding the meaning of the word salam and when salam is said with regards to the imams and the prophets etc, what it means with regards to Allah Azza wa Jal and what its true deep meaning is, we come then back to the Ziyarat Warith. We find that salam, when you want to speak to someone, especially of a grand status, it is the best kind of adab and etiquette for you to start your conversation with them. You want to address that person, you have to address them with words that are suitable for that person. If, for instance, today you were to go, let's say you had a meeting with the head of your company, you're not going to speak to him maybe like you would to your friend when you were with him, for example, in school, in the second grade. No, you're going to speak to them with respect, etc. So this is how we speak with our Imam, alayhi salam. When we speak to our Imam, alayhi salam, and we tell him, As-salam, As-salam means that we want to try to reach to that level. Let us go to the deeper meaning of the word salam and this verse salam. We are trying to reach that level so that we can be perfect and void of any flaws, of any deficiencies. Flaws, where can these flaws come in myself? They can start in the levels that I've referred to before, but again I will mention them. Number one, al-aql, that is to say our intellect, that we should have sound beliefs, sound values. We should think. Number two, we should have in our nafs proper akhlaq. We should try and distance ourselves from all of these bad akhlaq and vices. Number three, our body. Our body, that we should try and make it, number one, abide by all of the wajibat and stay from the muharramat away. All of the wajibat by praying, make your body pray. Fast, perform your hajj. And on the other hand as well, stay away from that which is haram. So when I tell my Imam alayhi salam that assalamu alaykum, I want to be in his presence. I want to be with you, my Imam. I want to be with you. So thereat, we have to strive on the one hand to be as such. On the other hand as well, it is like a form of dua from the Imam that help us reach that stage, the stage of As-Salam. Why so? When we say salam to a person, we want to join that person. We want to have a connection with them. We want to be with them. Correct or not? Correct. So, if you want to be with a person, you have to remove all of the factors that might prevent you from being able to be with that person. Again, correct? Okay. Let us take an example and then I'll come back to the point itself. You have charcoal right now. You want to have a barbecue, let's say. Now, if you want to try and turn that charcoal, if that charcoal has water, let's say, will you be able to turn it on? No, you won't. So you have to remove such factors from ourselves so that we can come close. Another example, or from the same example, I'll derive it another way. I'll say it another way. When you bring a charcoal to a already kindled fire, a piece of coal, and you bring it to an already kindled fire. Now, if this charcoal is again wet, or let's say, for example, it's not good, if you bring it to that fire, it's not going to turn on. However, if you remove all of these factors that prevent it from burning, and you bring it and you throw it into the fire, what is it going to become like? It's going to become a red hot coal. It's going to become like the fire itself. We are trying to seek proximity to our Imam alayhi salam. Now when we remove all of these factors that prevent us from becoming with the Imam, when we come closer to the Imam is going to give us from his quote-unquote heat, from his light. He is going to bring us closer until slowly, slowly we come like him. So thereat, we have to try and focus to remove all of these matters so that we can become like the Imam. So that all that we do is salam for the Imam, it is peace for the Imam. Know that whatever we do, every week it is shown to our Imam. Especially our 12th Imam. Whatever amal we do, it is shown to our Imam. If it is good, the Imam thanks Allah Azza wa Jal and he is happy with us. But if it is not good, it is a kind of adhi, it's a kind of hurt for him. He is hurt by what we do. Imagine our Imam, 1,100 years plus, still in ghaiba, and we not caring, committing all these vices, all of these sins. So we have to be, when we say this salam, we have to know that it is something extremely grand, really important, really significant. When you tell salam to the Imam, be worthy of telling salam to your Imam. In our narrations then, in general, going back to the literal context of the salam, salam is said in the beginning of any conversation. Salam, according to our narrations, it is said that do not speak to a person who does not start the conversation with salam. ابدأوا بالسلام قبل الكلام فمن بدأ بالكلام قبل السلام فلا تجيبوا. That is to say, start your speech with salam. And if someone comes and tells you salam, and so he starts with the conversation before salam, then don't answer him. And another narration as well, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says, that Allah Azza wa Jal, إن الله يحب إفشاء السلام, that Allah Azza wa Jal likes for salam to be said, for salam to be spread. In this narration, or in this ziyarah, we find that we have used the word assalamu alaykum. Correct? Whereas we know salamun alaykum in itself is enough. Salamun alaykum, salam, this is an indefinite, a word with an indefinite article. Salam, it may be any salam. However, when we say assalam, it is like saying the salam to you. So when we add this definite article of the, al, in the Arabic language, this is in order to show higher meaning, to show more emphasis. The salam, not any salam, the highest level of salam for you, my Imam, the highest level. A question now comes that when I say salam to a person, that means that I have a second party in front of me, correct or not? That there is someone in front of me. There is someone present. And he's listening to me. He can hear me. When I say salam to my imam, does he listen? Can he hear me? Does he hear the salam that is coming from myself? The answer is obvious, yes. But let's try to understand this more. Our imam, he, according to sciences of philosophy, Afham, our imam is a manifestation of the word, of the name of Allah, which is Sami'a, the all-hearing. So on the level of the imam, as a creature of Allah Azza wa Jal, he as well then hears everything that we say to the imam. So even if he's not in our presence, the imam hears. If you whisper to your imam in your car going somewhere, or for instance any walk of your life, whenever you are, wherever you are, our imam alayhi salam listens to what we say. So the imam then, number one, is present. Number two, he listens and he hears. And number three, he responds as well. Our imam responds as well. If he is in the hereafter, in the akhirah, that does not mean that the imam does not respond. The only problem is that me and you have all of these vices that are blackening our heart, which also have their own ears. Our hearts, so they have their own ears. As a result, we're not able to listen, to hear this response of our imam. Our imam, his existence is not like the existence of any normal human being. Our imam, it is not that he, when he came into this world, that was it, and when he passed away, his existence ended. No. The existence of an imam is something that's like I referred to in one of the lectures, that the first thing that Allah created was their light, the Muhammadi light. Al-Haqiqa al-Muhammadiyya. So the existence of our imams and the Prophet and Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa Muhammad. Their existence is started before the creation of this material dunya, this material existence, this material realm. If the imam came and was born in this world and thereafter he was martyred, that does not mean that the imam is not present anymore, he's not existent anymore. With this regard, this is something that has to be said. Death, what is death? Death means for a person to move from one realm to another realm. However, how can we understand this death? So that we can just understand how the imam listens to my salam. Death is for a person to be free from the clinges or from the attachment, from the quyood, from the locks, from the strains of this dunya, from the chains of this dunya. When a person becomes free from the chains of his dunya, they will be able to perceive more. We thereafter are able to perceive more things. This is related directly to the concept of transcendence, at-tajarrud. Tajarrud, this is something in ilm al-irfan, it is known that a person, when they reach a high stage of spirituality, slowly, slowly, their attachment to their body does not confine them anymore. They can even leave their body. They may be still awake or in this dunya alive, but they can leave this body. This is with regards to this world. If we are able to reach that state in this dunya, then congratulations to the person who is. However, in the time of death, the person, when they die, slowly, slowly, they start to perceive those things that we did or were not perceiving before. Slowly, slowly, we perceive.
cut off this existence. We start to perceive realities, forms of knowledge. On the day of Qiyamah, it is said that today your eyesight is like iron, it's really sharp. You will see in the day of Qiyamah your book, Al-Kitab. When we see this Kitab, this book on the day of Qiyamah, and even before that, our deeds, this is because we're now perceiving them. We are perceiving their effect on our nafs, on our soul. With regards to death then, death is the stage when we start to perceive it. Now, okay, Mawlana, those matters. What about this dunya? You mentioned tajarrud. Let's speak a little bit more about tajarrud. Tajarrud is this concept of transcendence when a person is able either to a certain extent or either completely leave their body. Now, another concept which is closely related, it is called al-maut al-ikhtiyari. There are two kinds of death. One death that each and every one of us know, which is al-maut al-ittirari, normal death, natural death. The other kind is al-maut al-ikhtiyari, that is to say the chosen death. A person leaves their body and goes to the higher realms. You go and meet your imams, you be with your imams. You learn and benefit from them, proper realities, true realities related to this entire existence. You learn about Tawheed, you learn about Allah Azza wa Jal. This maut al-ikhtiyari, it is referred to in one of the narrations of the Holy Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Who said, Mutu qabla an tamutu, that is to say, die before you die. If the meaning of death in both of these deaths, it was the same, then it's not intelligible. You can't imagine. I mean, what do you mean, die before you die? You're going to die. How can you die another time? No. This is because the death that the Prophet was referring to is different. Both of the meanings, they're not the same. Die your chosen death before the time of your natural death comes. Reach that level of closeness and proximity to Allah Azza wa Jal, that you have that control over your soul and your body. With this regard, it is said about some of the Arafa, let's try to give a couple of examples. One of the students of Sayyid Ali al-Qadi, one of the colleagues of Ayatollah Bahjat, who passed away in the last century, the 1980s if I'm not mistaken, by the name of Sayyid Hashim al-Haddad, he was known to have reached such a high level that he could control his body and his soul with this matter. He had reached that. He said that he had reached that final level of al-fana, that is to say annihilation in Allah Azza wa Jal. In that situation, a person does not see their own existence anymore. It's nothing. It's only Allah before him. Another example, this is actually a really, really amazing example, a story that I once passed by me. That during the Iran-Iraq war, at that time, as you know, the treasury of Iran, it reached an extremely dire level. To the extent that it is said that when the first time Imam Khomeini accepted the ceasefire in the treasury of this grand state, of this grand country, there was only $100 million left. And even though he said we have to continue. Now, during that time, supplies were really, really, really scarce. They were being rationed. So even sometimes there were operations that were run without, they were carried out without any anesthetic, without proper medication, etc. A person, one of the youth, one of the soldiers, he was injured a lot. And so he was in need of an operation. So they brought him to the operation ward over there in the field. They wanted to carry out this operation for him. But they told him it's going to be really difficult, or maybe they even told him that it's not possible because we don't have anesthetic and you're in need of anesthetic. He told them, don't worry. I will do something, you carry out your operation, and this, inshallah, is going to be fine. So the doctor says that this youth came, he lied down on the operation bed. I saw him reciting something. I heard him say, Bismillah al-Nur, Bismillah al-Nur, Bismillah al-Nur. He kept on repeating it. Till all of a sudden, I saw that he's not moving his lips anymore. What's happened? Is he going to sleep? I started to touch him, etc. I felt that this person is not here, he died. We started our operation. We started our operation, a couple of hours, we continued, we finished. The operation was finished, but how to wake this person up? He's not waking up. A while later, we slowly saw that his lips started to move. He started to recite this once more. Bismillah al-Nur, Bismillah al-Nur, Bismillah al-Nur. And he got up. They were amazed to find such a person of such a high spiritual status just hidden between these masses. This is al-mawtal ikhtiyari. With regards to this matter, then, we now understand that our Imam alayhi salam, that I want to reach to, Imam alayhi salam listens. He listens and he can hear. If he has died, that does not mean that he cannot perceive. No, that means he can perceive now more. He can understand us. When you're going, you live in Atlanta, you go to Najaf, Imam alayhi salam hears you. Our Imam hears you, our Imam is present, and he also responds to you. And we have to try to reach such a status that we can listen to the response of our Imam. Another story about one of our ulama. It is said that this alim, he used to live in Najaf, and a couple of centuries ago, not more than that. He was known to be one of the grand ulama, and he was a really big researcher and author. This alim, he would not go a lot to the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, even though he lived extremely close to the haram. So one time, one of the other ulama, one of the scholars, he came to this person, said, "What is it that we don't see you going to the shrine of Imam alayhi salam very much, even though you live very close? You know that it is istihdar, it is istighfar, that is to say you are taking Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam lightly. This may be haram." He said, "No." "Okay, if you think that way, let us go to the roof of my house. Over there, you say salam and I say salam to the Imam. And then we see what happens." He said, "Okay, let's go." They climbed the stairs, they reached the rooftop. That first person, that alim, the first alim, or the alim who came and he was criticizing this alim who would not go for ziyarat, he said salam. Said salam, nothing, normal. That other alim said, now let me perform my salam. He performed his salam. And all of a sudden they heard a response from the haram, wa alayka salam. That person, the second alim who criticized, he was amazed. He said, "MashaAllah, what is this? What are you doing? What amal do you do?" He said, "Look, I am carrying out my wajib, my responsibility, my wajib kifai. That is to say, I am writing and I am carrying out all this research for my imams because of what they ordered me. Ziyara is mustahab. When I stay here and I don't go to visit my imam, it's not that he's not in my heart. He is in my heart, I know of his existence, and I'm saying salam to him. And this is the response of my imam alayhi salam." So my imam responds as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us such a grand status. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam safwatillah. Peace be upon you, O the inheritor of Adam safwatillah. I will just end by this point so that we do not go too much over time. Peace be upon you, O inheritor of Adam. Okay, inheritance. What kind of what thing? What kind of inheritance did our Imam inherit from Nabi Adam alayhi salam? Was it his clothes? Was it his personal belongings? Was it a kind of inheritance that any person inherits from their deceased relatives? Or was it something else? No. The inheritance that our Imam alayhi salam inherited from Nabi Adam alayhi salam, it was of a spiritual mystical nature. It was related to his reality. That is to say, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, whatever he had, whatever Nabi Nuh had, whatever Nabi Ibrahim and Nabi Musa and Nabi Isa and the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam had, our Imam inherited from them. With regards to the Prophets other than the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, with regards to other than these personalities, it does not mean that If Imam Hussein alayhi salam inherited from them, that means that they also had all that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had. No. Imam had what they had. But it does not mean that they had all that the Imam had. The Imam's rank is something totally different and far higher. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam. This is a description. In the Holy Quran, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have not been mentioned by name. Ali bin Abi Talib, Hassan ibn Ali, the rest of our Imams alayhi salam. They've been mentioned by description. They have been mentioned by description that your wali, like I mentioned yesterday, is those people who believe and they perform zakat and they give zakat while they're praying. This is your wali, for instance. Or when the Holy Prophet, those people, they come to him and they say that we don't believe you, etc. And the Holy Prophet says that Allah Azza wa Jalla is sufficient for me as a witness and he who has the knowledge of the book. عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. This is some of the qualities. And in the Arabic language, for you to refer to a person by their qualities is far more eloquent than you just saying their name. Why? Because when those qualities are mentioned, you will be able to understand a dimension in the personality, in the status of that person, in the rank of that person. So thereat over here, it does not start As-salamu alayka ya Hussein bin Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. No. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Adam safwatillah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, or in this ziyarat, and in the end all of these ziyarat are from Allah Azza wa Jal. In this ziyarat, what is meant that we have to understand that our Imam alayhi salam, he had some of these qualities, and this is more eloquent in the Arabic language than to say it in normal ways by just using his name. Insha'Allah, we will continue with this topic, bismillah, tomorrow. We go to the battlefield of Karbala on the day of Ashura, after the companions of my Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they were martyred. The Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam started going one by one. Because my Imam Hussein alayhi salam had only a few soldiers remaining. And so it was not enough for all of them to go in one group. So they started to go three by three. And then they started to go one by one. In this situation, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, he saw that how many relatives he had lost and how many companions he had lost. He comes to his brothers, Abdullah, Uthman, and Ja'far, the sons of Umm al-Baneen alayhi salam. He says, "Oh my brothers, do you not see how the situation of the Imam is? Do you not see the hurbat, the loneliness of my Imam? Oh my brothers, advance and proceed up in front of my Imam so that I may see you supporting the cause of Allah and the Messenger, and so that I may be proud that you are martyred, all of you, in the way of Imam Hussein alayhi salam." Then he turned to Abdullah, their oldest brother, and said, "Advance, O brother Abdullah, so that I may see you martyred in the way of Allah." On the day of Ashura, they fought in front of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam, all of them with Alawi bravery, all of them with courage. They would fight those mala'een, those accursed mala'een. Abdullah was the first one to go. He went by himself and he started fighting them. He killed many on the right, on the left. However, because of the fact that he was alone by himself, they started to come and gather around him. Slowly, slowly, he started to get tired. They
They started to inflict him with injuries and they started to strike him. Abdullah fell on the ground and all of them, they gathered. Umm al-Baneen alayha salam lost her first son. He was followed by his brothers Ja'far and Uthman. All of them, they fought one by one. One by one, they were falling. And in the end, when Al-Abbas saw all of his brothers, they were all martyred in the way of Allah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to Abu al-Fadl, he says, "You are the best brother, O Abu al-Fadl. Thank you for consoling me with your brothers and supporting me. But I ask you one question. That how do you know, what do you think, how did Umm al-Baneen alayhi salam receive the news?" When Umm al-Baneen alayha salam, when she saw in Medina that the caravan of the Alawis had returned from Sham, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam had sent that announcer, Bishr. He told him, "Go in front of us and announce the death of Imam Hussein, the death of all our companions, the death of our relatives to the people of Medina." When he reached Al-Medina, he goes to the center of Medina and he starts to say, "O people of Yathrib, may you not remain in it. Al-Hussein has been killed in Karbala. His body is left bloody and his head is torn and taken in all the villages on the top of an arrow, of a spear." Umm al-Baneen alayha salam comes out. All of a sudden Bishr sees a tall lady with a child. She comes to him, she tells him, "Oh so and so, what has happened to Hussein?" Look, Umm al-Baneen, she does not ask about her children. She asks him, "Oh Fulan, what has happened to Hussein? Tell me, my heart is burning." He tells, after knowing that this is Umm al-Baneen, "I give you condolences for the death of your son Abdullah." She tells him, "I have not asked about Abdullah, I am asking about Hussein." He tells her, "I give you condolences for your son Uthman." She tells him, "I have not asked about him, tell me about Hussein." He tells her, "I give you condolences for Ja'far." She tells me, "Hussein." He tells her, "I give you condolences about Abu Fadl al-Abbas." She tells him, "You have broken my heart, tell me about Hussein." The child she had is dropped on the ground and she tells, he tells her, "I give you condolences for Hussein. His body was left in Karbala for 3 days and his head was torn." "I cry for those who placed their love in my heart. They went and kindled. They went and kindled the fire of grief. In my heart, my grief is for masters who my master." "Today they parted and left in the bottom of my heart a fire of grief, Ya Allah.
O Allah, we ask by the right of Umm al-Baneen and by the right of all of our sons, O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us those people who truly deserve to be saying as-salam to our Imam, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us tawfiq to perform al-amal as-salih and to stay away from the sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, those among us who have hajat, O Allah, fulfill their hajat, Ya Allah. O Allah, cure the sick of the mu'mineen, Ya Allah. O Allah, aid us from the oppressors, and especially the oppressors, the extremist Wahhabis, who right now are killing our Shia brothers and sisters in all countries, Ya Allah. O Allah, protect our maraja and prolong their age, Ya Allah. O Allah, guide us on the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim and grant us proximity to you, O Allah. O Allah, send the thawab of our majalis along with Surah Al-Fatiha and a loud salawat to all our marhameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahum salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Hey.